Morning again.
Morning.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, there is so many things that overwhelm us in this world. There are so many reasons to be anxious. And yet, we're commanded not to be anxious. Lord, may your word fill us. May your Holy Spirit guide us. And give us hope and strength and joy. Increase our faith in times of trouble. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
It was a bright, beautiful, sunny day in St. Louis. I was at the campus of Concordia Seminary. And we had just finished a chapel service where they handed out our certificates. And I officially saw that I was now Reverend Joel Lyman. And now, there I am, I'm with all my friends and who are graduating with me, and we have our black robes on and our funny little black hats. And I can see where my family is seated as the graduation procession is about to begin, and we're about to walk in and have our graduation ceremony. And then, at the time he was the president, Dr. Dale Meyer, President Meyer, he comes up to me and says, "Joel, I regret to inform you that you missed one of your classes this entire last quarter, and you cannot graduate, and you cannot take your call until you take this course over the summer." And then I wake up in my bed, and I'm a pastor, and I look, and there's my diploma. And I did indeed graduate from Concordia Seminary. Anxiety, it hits us. It even hits us in our sleep when we have no reason to be anxious at all, right, over things in the past. And yet, anxiety seems to be a fact of life. It is almost a rule. And let's face it. You go to the gas pump, it's a lot more expensive. You go to the grocery store, and prices of things have doubled. Found out last night that the toothpaste that Amy and I buy had doubled in price. Right? And yet Jesus tells us to not be anxious about our lives. And yes, He specifically does talk about not being anxious about what we eat and drink. But he says also, don't be anxious about our lives. And that covers a lot of things. Because while it is certainly easy to be anxious about what we're going to eat in today's world, and what we're going to wear in today's world, as prices are going up, many of you have other anxieties on your hearts, right? Anxieties about family and situations. Anxiety about health. And what is the trouble with anxiety? It's interesting because there's a little bit of a paradox when it comes to anxiety and our walk with Jesus. Why would Jesus tell us to not be anxious? Well, quite simply, if you're anxious, you're not trusting in God. And that's often where we arrive. But what is God doing in these circumstances? Perhaps God is using these times of anxiety to do something for us, to help us along. And so I actually want to venture back into the Old Testament, where there is this old guy, right? His name was Abram. It would next be changed to Abraham. But in the text today in Genesis, He was Abram's dog. And Abram, he was getting up there in age. And so was his wife, Sarah. It's not funny because the Bible mentions how beautiful Sarah is, but it also tells us how old she is. And she must have been strikingly beautiful because in her old age, probably something that would make all the ladies here jealous, right? Because men would go after her and Abram would feel the need to say, "This is my sister. Don't kill me so you can take her for my wife." So Abram had a lot of worries and anxiety in his life. And one of his anxieties was not having a child and to pass all his blessings to. He was childless. And in fact, he was going to have to give all his belongings to one of his servants from Damascus. And he was talking with God and saying, "God, am I going to have to give this up to a servant because you didn't give me a son?" And what does God do? God promises that he and Sarah will have a son. He promises not just that, but he promises Abraham that he will have many descendants. How many descendants?
Many.
Yeah, as many as the stars, or when we go to the nice sandy beaches that we have, as many as the grains of sand on the beach, right? That's a lot of descendants. And Abraham probably thinking, "Well, God, Sarah and I are keeping up on our end of the bargain. Where are you in this then?" And yet, God promises this promise. And Abraham believed. And here's what is interesting. It says, God credited Abraham's belief as righteousness. God credited Abraham's belief as righteousness, meaning that because Abram believed in God's promise, God said, "You are righteous." But let me get this straight. All I have to do is believe in something, and I'm right before God? Does believing in the tooth fairy make me more righteous? Does believing... I don't want to pull that one from the kids, never mind. does believing that if I have a lucky coin with me all the time or something like that, or a good luck charm, does that make me righteous? No, that makes you kind of more of an unwise pagan. But think of all these things that we believe in our lives. Does belief alone make us righteous? Right? Isn't it a saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions? I believed I was going to do something. I meant to do well, but I didn't do it. Well, then how can I be righteous if I didn't do it? There's something that is not said, perhaps enough. Believing in God, having faith in the one that he sent, especially in the context of this world, it is hard. Let me say that again. Believing and trusting in God is hard. God calls you to do many tough things if you're faithful to him. Let's see. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's not easy. Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Boy, that seems hard to do. And Jesus says, trust in me. the act of trust is so hard when we have so much going on to overwhelm us. Sure, Jesus, you have me taken care of in the eternal scheme of things, but how am I going to provide for my children this week as the prices rise? Jesus, where are you right now as I'm seeking maybe a second job? And yet, I can't afford childcare right now. Or, Lord, how can I afford these medical bills? I'm outliving my retirement. Lord, I'm watching the news, and more bad things are happening in this world. And there's evil. Where are you right now? God, I try to show up on time. I try to do whatever I can. And yet my boss still grinds on me all the time. And I just can't seem to get it right. As a parent, the children, sometimes our children, they're wonderful blessings to us, right? And yet there are times where they are a huge point of anxiety. Because we're so busy trying to get everything done, because all the tasks on the to-do list just overwhelm us. There have been times where I have been, where God has kind of reminded me just how blessed I am through my son, and how, even despite how awful of a father I can be at certain moments, where I'm trying to get a bunch of things done. And Jeremy will start asking me a bunch of questions and things like that. Or ask me to do some things for him or something like that. And then he'll say, Dad. And I'll be like, what is it, Jeremy? And I'll say, I love you. We can be so filled with anxiety that we can forget to enjoy the very gifts that God has given us. Jesus promises to give us life, an abundant life. And it is challenging to believe that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But these moments of anxiety come to us. And they can actually grow our faith. Because it's in these moments where we can look at a verse like in Hebrews and realize, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. I don't know how I might get through the next month if prices keep rising, right? I don't know how I might get through the next week if my schedule if I have more things scheduled than I can possibly seem to get through. I'm long on the to-do list and short on time. I don't know how I'm going to make it through these medical bills. I don't know how I'm going to do all this. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Right? If we have a nice emergency fund stored up in our bank account and the car breaks down, wonderful. We can at least afford to fix it. Because we can see that money there. But if we see the other bills on the horizon, oh boy, you might wonder, God, how am I going to get through this? And yet, it is the Father's good pleasure to give us his kingdom. His will for Abraham and for Sarah was to expand their descendants. And even now, his descendants are expanding in the faith. You are sons and daughters of Abraham because you believe. And oh, by the way, you are righteous because you believe. And in those moments of doubt, when you are able to say, God, I do not see how I'm going to get through this, but I believe in you. I trust in you. God looks at you and says, righteous. Righteous. Because it is hard to believe and trust. The devil wants to overwhelm you. The devil wants to break you down. The devil wants you to doubt in the salvation that Jesus Christ won for you on the cross. Because let's face it, if God sent his only begotten Son into this world to spare your soul, to save you from hell, he knows about your needs. That he knows about your daily needs. He knows that you need that gas in that tank to get to work. He knows that you need to be able to pay for the medicine that you need to put in your body. He knows that your children have needs that need to be met. It is his good pleasure to not just meet those needs, but to give you a greater gift, his kingdom. And he did that. Not by your works, you're not righteous based off your works. Because of what his Son has done for you. And not only has God given us his Son, but he's given us his Holy Spirit. And it is through his Holy Spirit that we are able to believe in this fantastic, incredible, wonderful, mind-blowing thing that the God of the universe would send his Son. That the God of the universe, who, let's face it, we're probably like a little ant to him. Right? You ever had a little ant crawl in your fingers? That's what we're like to God. And yet he says, you are my beloved Son. You are my beloved daughter. I love you. And you are righteous because I said so. I gave you my Son. I gave you my Holy Spirit. You believe. You are righteous. I am with you. Yes. Believing in this wonderful, astounding message, this good news of Jesus Christ, it is hard. The devil makes it hard. Our ego and our pride makes it hard. And when we even fail and stumble, Jesus is faithful to still continue to forgive us. The Holy Spirit that came to us in our baptisms still is there reminding you that, hey, there's this guy named Jesus. He's the Son of God. He loves you. And he's claimed you as his own. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Just believe and trust. Solomon was the most richest and wealthiest king, probably the wealthiest man ever to live in the world. He had glorious clothes, apparently. We can gather that according to Jesus. He had glorious clothes. And he had flowers that just stood in the field. Looked more splendorous than Solomon ever could. They did nothing. How much more valuable are you than a flower? The ravens, they don't work for their food. God just feeds it to them. We're in God's wonderful zoo, right, in his creation. He just feeds the birds like that. How much more valuable are you? How much more radiant? How much more beautiful? You are beautiful. You are radiant. You are handsome to God. He loves you. Don't worry. God loves you. I'll take this time to remind you that you will not find it anywhere in the Bible. God helps those who help themselves. No, you're not going to find that here. God will never give you more than you can handle. That's not true either. That's not written down here. But he did write, for God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We can't handle everything, but God does, and he loves us. And he is with you to the end of this age. He is with you always. He is here with us now. He will be with you when you leave those doors. Hopefully he will be here when you come back. Or he will be here. Hopefully. I think it's time to stop, right? God is with you always. Amen?
Amen.
And just establish that gospel of listening, guard your hearts and minds, to keep them from now until life is everlasting.
Amen.
Amen.